You joined the University of Nairobi, and how does that? How are your years,
the years.
At
the university?
Yeah.
I was a naive young girl.
Yeah.
Just turned 18, or was about to turn 18.
Yeah.
And I remember now going to register at the courtyard there, at the I think it was the graduation square, the courtyard, I can't remember. And there was this guy I met who I knew now from Dornholm, my Dornholm days. And he was, I think, in third year or second year. And he told me, no, when you go to register, go and tell them you want to stay in hall 13. It's the best hall. Yeah.
Very famous hall.
Yes. So we went confidently and said, hey. In fact, I think I even thanked him for that piece of wisdom. And when I was registering, I said, I want to be put in hall 13. So there was this burst of laughter because hall 13 was a men's. A male hall.
Yeah.
And is one of the notorious for you know, all the wrong things that can go in campus were happening in hall 13. So anyway, joined, went to Box that time. I think it's still called Box. It's a ladies' hostel. So my campus was interesting because, one, now you're staying alone, so there's that independence.
Complete.
So there's no one to watch over you. If you want to talk to boys the whole time, you can talk to boys the whole time and waste your time there. So you had to have a level of self-discipline. Again, getting from the training or upbringing where, you know, my mom ensured we kept academics, you know, at a very high priority. I think that really helped. But also medical school was busy, so you hardly had time to even know what the other students were doing. So went in, then I remember our first exam, a cut, was on biochemistry. And for me, biochemistry just flew over my head. I never used to understand those concepts. For most of us, I think it's the way it was taught. And I remember, you know, everyone now is like top three or most likely the top students from wherever high schools they came from to come and do medicine. And then you are made to see this first cut, and I got 38%. I would say 90% of the class failed. And I remember this guy, in fact, up to now, we keep on asking him, what on earth was wrong with you? He got 82 or 88%. So I think that was an awakening that, you know, you are used to being the cream, you're used to being the top, and then now university has shown you that you can actually fail. And I think we are not brought up to know how to deal with failure. So I would say let's allow our children to fail, because then they learn that life is not all about winning. And there's a healthy attitude towards taking a lesson out of a failure. So I got very depressed, or rather very sad, and went for a swim, even though I don't know how to swim, in the university pool. But after that, I think I just adjusted and said, okay, this thing is, I can actually fail this this course if I don't watch out. So from there on, I think life wasn't too bad. I failed all my cuts, by the way, for biochemistry. But I passed all my... I ensured I passed all my exams. So for some reason, I never got a supplementary. And I learned to work smart, not hard.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's a lesson that I've taken even to my adulthood. So I learned, okay, medical school, you need 51%.
Yeah.
You don't need your 80s.
Yeah.
You don't need your what. And you know, there are many subjects.
You just need to pass.
You just need to pass. And there's no distinction in medicine or second class honors or what. It is either you passed or you failed. So you won't see in a doctor's room that first class honors medicine, nothing. We don't have that grading. So just learned how to study smarter. Learned how to have group work. But also I never used to stay in campus over the weekend. Again, I think my love for anything that's not academics.
Right.
So I ensured over the weekend I was in church activities, I was visiting my family.
Mm.
But now during Monday to Friday, I'd put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that really helped me to get exposed to things that were not medicine, because I see some of my colleagues,
mm.
because they spent their whole time in medical school, mm. you're interacting only with medics.
Mm.
And so your view to life really is
from that
very,
perspective.
Yes,
only.
It's a very tunnel vision.
Mm.
So I got into, like, I was always out.
Mm.
And I think maybe this is where my restlessness came
mm.
from.
Mm.
We are hiking Ngong Hills. I don't know, we are going to Mombasa as a youth program.
Mm.
You're going for missions.
Mm.
We used to do medical camps. Those mm. are visiting, I think some missionary doctors who are visiting and attached to our church.
Mm.
And, you know, he'd take us to some of those rural areas and
mm.
we'd offer our care. Even with the medical students, it was allowed. There's some level of care you can offer.
Right.
Yes, I think that helped to enrich my campus.
Mm.
I also remember I'd started dating.
Mm.
Just before joining campus,
mm.
and then the guy went to the US.
Mm, okay.
And I got engaged, by the way.
Ooh.
At 18 years.
Wow.
I had a plan, you
yeah.
know, I had this plan in my life that I'd get out at 24, get married. We even knew what our first daughter's name was going to be called. So during campus, because
yeah.
I was betrothed,
yeah.
I kept off any relationship.
Yeah.
In fact, people are so shocked. They can't believe what they see now and what I was in campus.
Mm.
But I think because I just got focused. When they determined to focus on things, I'd focus.
Mm-hmm.
So campus was about studying.
Mm-hmm.
And then campus
mm.
ended.
Mm.
And this person was still in the US.
Oh, they didn't come back.
I tried going there, actually.
Okay.
In third year.
Campus. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was willing to risk
mm-hmm.
losing everything to start afresh from pre-med. And you know, the US, you start from pre-med, not
yeah.
medicine.
Yeah. So start all over.
Start all over.
But you are young, so it would have still...
I was young and yeah. in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I went to the US embassy. They stamped. They said, I said, insufficient reason to come back. And of course, I wasn't going to come back.
Yeah.
So it was a blessing in this case.
What reasons are you given? I'm in love. I want to go join my boyfriend.
Yeah, I think it was I want to go join. You see, I was being honest, yeah. Or I was going to visit or something.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was... Yeah.
Did your parents know that?
No one knew. In fact,
goodness.
I think many of them are finding out now from this interview. Now I was going to go and go. So...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How life would have turned out different.
I know. Most likely, I wouldn't have done medicine. After pre-med, I
wouldn't. No, you'd have gone and...
Yeah.
Where is he now?
He's still in the US. Actually, he came visiting last December. So
yeah.
We caught up and laughed of our foolishness. Yeah. So that at least that kept me off.
Yeah.
Any mischief in campus.
Yeah. He was good for you to
for the focus. Yeah.
For the focus.
He served his purpose for sure. Yeah.
But at least even with all the focus, you are still able to express and not be very suppressed. You know, express your other.
Because now there's no one to tell me you can't, and then I realize I'm happy doing some of those things.
Mm,
so
mm.
Then there's then it was a time we didn't have mobile phones,
yeah.
So we were relying on internet, and I think I was one of the first people to have an email account, Yahoo, lizwala@yahoo.com.
Oh, are you on MySpace?
No, MySpace hadn't come.
Oh, yes, it hadn't.
MySpace near Jews.
Oh, my goodness.
It's recent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd go and you'd go to a cyber cafe, remember?
Mm, mm,
so there was one cyber cafe in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And after class, you know, everyone is trooping back to their rooms or to whatever they want to do, extracurricular. Me, I'm trooping to cyber cafe. It was 5 shillings a minute.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite expensive.
Right.
And... yeah, eventually I realized I'm actually dating a computer because, you know, now you finish 6 years and then what?
Mm.
Yeah, because someone is not coming and you're not going.
Mm.
Yeah, so I broke it off.
Mm.
So when I was in campus again,
mm-hmm.
because I needed to supplement the pocket money I was getting.
Right.
I walked up to, and I think this is something that maybe is... in me, I never fear to ask. Because the worst you can hear, you can be told is no. Mm-hmm. Or what if it's a yes? So I remember identifying this lecturer, and he was a Mnyori. Remember, I'm so jazzed about meeting Wanyores, because I think I've always grown up knowing we are the only Wanyores, because we are going in multicultural settings.
Yeah.
I also met the first Suba guy. Suba, I never even knew there was a tribe called Suba. And then this Kuria, I remember, right. he was my deskmate. So I walked up to this lecturer and I said, I'm so and so, I'm in third year and I need a job to just supplement what I'm getting. So I said, okay, go to this other doctor, he's a researcher, speak to him, ask him if he can give you something to do. So I walked to that doctor and he had something to do for me to do. I became a research assistant. That's Dr. Joshua Kimani. He's been my mentor ever since. And he was doing this research on some STI. And you know, there's no internet. Those are the days of pagers. And you had to have the questionnaire filled by doctors. So for every questionnaire, I was being paid 100 shillings. But you had to work. So you see, I'm in school in the Kenyatta side. After class, I have to go and look for doctors to fill that form. Sometimes you go and there's a queue, or you go and find the doctor is not there. You find very rude secretaries. So it wasn't easy to get that one question. Or the doctor forgot, because it's a manual filling. Yeah, so I did that but it supplemented my income. Not my income, my pocket money. And I did it from third year to sixth year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that really exposed me, one, to many of my colleagues. That's why I really know the older generation of doctors, because I used to knock on those doors.
Yeah.
And then the second one, it exposed me to the field of research.
Yeah.
And even just that doctors can do something else apart from seeing patients.
Exactly.
So that was a very good exposure.
So networking, research,
exactly. Design. And hustling.
And hustling.
You know, that's like a sales job. It's not that easy. And you can't call someone. You know, now you can pick a phone call or text and say, can I
that
come?
That one is you go physically.
You bounce. Then, but before that, I had I think between first year and second year, I also applied to work in Chiroma Mortuary. And that was a very prestigious job, to be a mortuary attendant.